Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. America is suffering a health crisis, an epidemic. I'm not just talking about the COVID-19 pandemic that started in 2020, although that certainly is a health crisis to be sure. I'm talking about a health crisis that has started a long time ago, but has gotten more intense and more worse, and is starting to worry the medical community. It was described in an article in 2018 by the New York Times, and that article started this way: America is suffering an epidemic of loneliness. It went on to report that according to a recent large-scale survey, Americans suffer from strong feelings of loneliness and a lack of significance in their relationships. Nearly half say they sometimes or always feel alone. And 13% of Americans say that zero people know them well. It goes on to report that in each successive generation, loneliness becomes worse in people. Loneliness is an epidemic in the United States, and loneliness is literally killing people, with drug abuse and suicide rates at record highs and increasing each and every year. Last year in 2019, 48,000 people took their own life. And that number increases every year. Last year, 72,000 people died of drug overdose, an all-time high. We're suffering an epidemic of loneliness, and loneliness is literally killing people in America, which is why this season, which we call Advent, is so very important. The reason it's so very important is because it is this season in which we remember that Christ comes to us. That's what the word Advent literally means. It literally means coming or arrival. And it celebrates the fact that Jesus Christ has come into this world. Jesus Christ comes into this world today. And Jesus Christ is coming to rescue us from the ultimate cause of loneliness, which is sin itself. God declared back in the book of Genesis, at the very beginning of creation, it is not good for man to be alone. And he was so right about that, wasn't he? God is so right in saying it's not good for us to be alone, but sin separates us. It separates us from God, and it separates us from each other. So God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world to deal with our greatest problem, which is sin itself and all its various consequences, including loneliness. God sent Jesus into this world to be our savior from sin, and that is what we celebrate as we begin this season of Advent. We celebrate Advent past, Christ has come. We celebrate Advent present, Christ comes to us today. And we celebrate Advent future, Christ is coming and returning in all of his glory. Let's talk about those three phases of Advent today. First of all, Advent past, Christ has come. That is known as the incarnation. Isaiah promised it 700 years before Jesus was born. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. God does not want to leave us alone. God will not abandon us. He will not leave us, and he will not forsake us. God is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ came into this world to be with us so that he might be the one who redeems us from the power of sin. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Galatians 4 puts it this way, but when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. And Colossians 2 puts it this way, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. You see, when we talk about the incarnation, we recognize the fact that Advent is not a hope as much as a historical event. It is something that already happened. Jesus Christ was born into this world roughly 2,020 years ago, give or take 4 or 5 years. But 2,020 years ago, God became flesh. God, the Almighty, who created the universe, the Son of God himself, the Word of God, by whom the entire creation is upheld and sustained, became a little baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. People might ask me, Pastor, how is that possible? How is that possible that the Almighty, all-powerful God, who is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, could be wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger as a helpless little baby? How is that possible? And my answer is, I don't know. It is a miracle beyond what our ability to understand or comprehend can even begin to fathom. It is far beyond our reason to understand it. But that's exactly what happened. That's how God's Word describes it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. He shall be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. Because only by becoming a human being could Jesus do the one thing that was necessary, that God had to do in order to pay the price for all of our sins. In order to pay the price for all of our sins, God had to die. And to die, God first had to become a human being. That's why Advent and the Incarnation are so crucial to God's plan of salvation. God became man not to be worshipped here on earth, but to serve. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. God became man so that he might die and pay the price for sin and bring us into his family to make us sons and daughters of God. At this time of year, we celebrate Advent past, the fact that Christ has come in the flesh. But we also celebrate Advent present, the fact that Christ comes to us today. Just before he ascended to heaven, after his glorious resurrection, 40 days later, he gathered his disciples and he gave them a mission. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And then he gave them this promise. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. Even though he was ascending into heaven, he was assuring his disciples and assuring us he wasn't going anywhere. He was going to continue to be with us, but in a different way. No longer here in the flesh, no longer here in the body, but here through what we call the means of grace. Word and sacrament. Through the means of grace, through word and sacrament, Christ continues to come to us today. And we call that Advent present. That's why we're here in church this morning. The reason we're here in church this morning is not to listen to a pastor. No, the reason we're in church this morning is because this is where we can meet Jesus. This is where Jesus comes to us through the most simple means possible, through words, through water, and through bread and wine. It's a miracle, to be sure, but it is a miracle that God has fulfilled in these means of grace. Let me share with you the three means of grace. The first means of grace is the Bible, God's holy word, in which he communicates with us, speaks to us, and builds up and strengthens our faith. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. God wants to communicate with us. He wants to establish a relationship with us. He wants to assure us of his presence. And so he speaks to us. And the way he speaks to us is through the inspired words of Scripture. Hebrews 13:5 reminds us, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. He is speaking to us now as we listen to his word. He continues to teach us, instruct us, encourage us, and build up our faith. Faith comes from hearing the message. The message is heard through the word of Jesus Christ. The second means of grace is baptism, a washing of regeneration and rebirth in the Holy Spirit. Romans 6 says, we were therefore buried with Christ through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. You know, Psalm 68, verse 6, God made a promise to his people. God promised that he would set the lonely in families. Isn't that a beautiful promise? God doesn't want anybody to be lonely. It is not good for a man to be alone. We all need connection. We all need a family. We all need brothers and sisters. And in the power of baptism, God does set the lonely into families. We literally become part of the family of God, adopted into his very own family. Galatians says, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. In the waters of baptism, we become part of the largest family in the world. The family of God in Jesus Christ. Baptism is our assurance that God, our Father, loves us and has made us members of his family, and that we are never alone. We always have brothers and sisters who are there for us, to pray for us, to encourage us, to be by our side through the good times and through the difficult times of life. We are never alone. Finally, the third means of grace that God gives us to overcome the power of sin in our lives and to remind us of Christ's presence is the sacrament of Holy Communion. Matthew 26 tells us, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. In the sacrament of Holy Communion, we receive so many blessings from the Lord. First of all, we receive his own body and blood, as he himself says in his own testament. And along with that body and blood, we receive the forgiveness of our sins. God always wants to remind us of his sacrifice and his mercy. The fact that we are forgiven for Christ's sake. Baptism and Holy Communion are both sacraments, but they are very different. Baptism is a one-time sacrament. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Holy Communion, God urges us to partake of it often in remembrance of him. If baptism is all about our adoption into God's family, becoming sons and daughters and members of God's family, then Holy Communion is the family dinner table, the place where God invites us to gather into a holy communion of saints, of sons and daughters of God, gathered around his table at his invitation to receive his gifts of his body and blood, his love, and his forgiveness. It is the place where we gather and receive that and are reminded again that we are not alone. We are part of a large family. Part of a large family that includes the believers gathered here today in this parking lot. But more than that, gathered all over the world, people who believe in Jesus Christ, who also are receiving the sacrament of Holy Communion. More than that, we are part of a larger family that includes the saints who have gone before us in heaven, who are gathered at the heavenly banquet with Jesus Christ. God has placed the lonely us into a family, the family of God. And Advent reminds us we are never alone. Advent past, Christ has come. Advent present, Christ comes to us today. And Advent future, Christ is coming again. And that, of course, refers to the second coming. Here in Mark chapter 13, our gospel text for today, they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, with all his holy angels with him. What a glorious sight that will be when Jesus Christ comes in all his glory with all his holy angels. And why will he be returning again? Well, the Bible tells us that he will gather his elect from the four corners of the earth. He'll send out his holy angels to gather them all. Why? So that we might be with him forever. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus comforted his disciples. He said, "Trust in God, trust also on me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me." Why? So that you may be where I am. It's not good for a man to be alone. Jesus is not going to leave us here as orphans. He is going to come back to rescue us, to save us, to deliver us from this evil world, and bring us into his glorious, everlasting kingdom. That is what Advent is all about. In past, Christ has come to deliver us from sin. Advent present, Christ comes to us today to forgive our sins and gather us into his family. Advent future, Christ is coming again to gather his saints together and bring them to a place where they will never be separated and never be lonely again. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.